Have you heard about the exciting new exhibit by the Black Artists and Designers Guild, which was commissioned by the Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum in New York City? Big news, right? The Cooper Hewitt's exhibition is called Making Home, Smithsonian Design Triennial. Now, the Badge Designers exhibit is titled The Underground Library, inspired by the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad is the clandestine network established in the early 19th century through which many enslaved African Americans traveled in search of freedom. This library installation represents a 21st century sanctuary surrounded by art, objects, artifacts, and books of Black legacy. In reimagining and repurposing the Andrew Carnegie Personal Library, Badge invites you to examine the power of home libraries and the significance of literacy, remembering that African Americans were denied the right to read under slavery. I'm honored to share that Window Works in Livingston was asked by Badge to create the flat panels for the windows. We used a custom design fabric by Badge members, and the fabric was fabricated by Stacy Garcia's team at Libitex. So please make a point to visit this inspired space the next time you are in New York City. The exhibition runs from November 2024 all the way through August 10th, 2025. So you have plenty of time to get this on your calendar. We will put links in the show notes. This episode is sponsored by Revelwoods. Revelwoods is your source for premium hardwood and resilient flooring. Using the Revelwoods selector tool, you will be able to find curated suggestions for each specific project based on criteria such as style, color, zip code, and usage. Because the species of wood that performs in a laundry room in Key West is not going to be the same as the wood that will perform in a living room in Chicago. And how do you know that? Well, Revelwoods helps you. Know before you specify. And when you sign up for a free professional membership, you'll get access to exclusive discounts and referral benefits. Visit Revelwoods.com to get started. Welcome to A Well-Designed Business. My name is Luann Nigara, and I'm so glad you found this podcast. Together with my husband Vince and our partner Bill, we have grown our company Window Works from the ground up. So I know and I understand the challenges you face in running your interior design business. I also know that your talent alone isn't enough to ensure your success. So on this podcast, we talk about strategies and practical steps to help you grow your business. But make no mistake about it, we have our share of fun here too, mixed in with those aha moments that I love so much. This isn't fluff. Nobody has time for that. Whether you are a new interior designer or a seasoned designer, I am here to help you create and to manage the kind of interior design firm that you dream of. It's straight talk and it's action. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hi, welcome to A Well-Designed Business. It's Power Talk Friday. Today, we are going to talk about something that often we put to the side. I will tell you I'm guilty of it, but it's important and we should not. And what it is self-care. It's important for our health. It's important for our self-esteem. It's important for our happiness. And as entrepreneurs, it's ultimately important for our business and the success of our business. And this is exactly why the theme for this year's Luann Live 2023 is Health and Wealth, a well-designed business within a well-designed life. We are going to address our businesses and its health, but also address our personal journey, our personal health, and the things that we do to show up as our best selves in our personal lives and our personal health that enable to help us and enable us to show up as our best selves in our business, okay? So to this end, I'm happy to introduce you to Katie McDonald. She is my guest today. She is one of our speakers at Luann Live, and she is one of my friends. Katie is a certified holistic health coach and the founder of Be Nourished, a concierge coaching service for high achievers who take care of their business but not necessarily take care of themselves. You'll see why Katie and I are friends, okay? You'll hear Katie explain how she found herself at a point where she was left with no choice because her body was falling apart and her mind was collapsing. She said she had to start taking care of herself by transforming her body-mind relationship. She changed her life. And now, 12 years later, Katie is empowering other high achievers to leverage their own self-care so that they can achieve and sustain their success instead of dismissing self-care as a distraction to success, right? Because Katie has had a number of interior designers as clients, I know that she knows that creatives are susceptible to ignoring our well-being and dismissing our own needs and sometimes even our own space. Hey, Katie, thanks so much for joining me on A Well-Designed Business today.
Thank you for having me, Luann.
So, you know, it's funny because I just said to you off air, maybe we'll mention it, maybe we won't. I'm not sure. I have to say how I know you. I just, like, as soon as I'm live with you now, I'm like, just smiling because you and I both went through Heroic Public Speaking together, which is a super high level, high caliber, amazing program for speakers. And that meant that we got to be together for almost a year, at least a couple of times a month. And seeing you now, I'm just smiling and remembering what a great experience that was. And I'm so glad that it brought us together and it made us friends, you know?
That was one of the many gifts. Agreed.
Yeah. And what's so funny is we found all these things in common. Like you're in a room with 50 other people and you're like, wait, oh, wow, that's crazy.
That's true. Absolutely.
I know. And so here's the thing. You are a professional keynote speaker. You also do coaching. And what you do is you focus on self-care, on the fact that it's not fluff and that it is not selfish. And so what's interesting is my audience just went, wait, that's so much in common? Like, wait, what? You're like a workaholic. Like, do you do self-care, Lou? I'm like, yes. Friday night, I have a glass of wine. It's very self-caring. But the thing is, as we talked, I learned that you actually have this big intersection with the design world, which we're going to get into. But I just think it was like really fun and, you know, crazy for us to discover all that. But Katie, start us off this, you know, thing that you put out into the world. It's not fluff and it's not selfish. Why do you feel so passionately about that?
Oh, because I had to learn the hard way. I mean, I dismissed self-care as an obstacle to getting it done. And I thought, you know, what happened was I thought we had to choose productivity or self-care. And I know that I'm always going to choose getting something done if it is, in fact, a choice. And my body had to fall apart. My mind had to collapse. I really had to spiral, circle the drain in my career with Time Inc., where I was selling advertising in 45 national publications, including Elle Decor, House Beautiful, a number of publications. And what happened was I was selling more than ad pages. I sold my soul. We're in a doing culture, and I didn't know how to be. I only knew how to take on more and more. And I eventually hit the point where I realized I can't do it anymore. This isn't sustainable. And I had to start embracing the understanding that if I wanted to get things done, I had to take care of myself. I couldn't come by it in any other way other than to be completely demoralized. My body fell apart with a number of diseases, ulcerative colitis, pneumonia, shingles, asthma, depression, anxiety. I mean, I fell apart. And I had all these whispers of symptoms, but I was too busy to pay attention to them. And it wasn't until I really fell apart where I understood, wow, I'm never going to change the passion within me to get things done, to leave an impact, to create a legacy. So, but how am I going to be able to do this? Because how I'm doing it now isn't working.
Wow. Like, you know, I've known parts of your story, but that's very powerful, Katie.
Well, I wish I could have learned in some other enlightened way, but it really required my complete self-destruction in order for me to say, wow, like I literally, I cannot move forward like this. I believed that there was this have it all together club. And that if I just continued to prove that I would outwork anybody else, that I would reserve my place in this privileged imaginary club that, by the way, does not exist. Right. And that was the hardest part, to realize, like, wow, I can't do this. I'm going to have to opt out of this fantasy that I'm the doer, that I am, because I have to learn how to become a human being. And those two elements were fighting against each other. And I was always choosing doing until my body fell apart and forced, and my mind fell apart and forced me to reevaluate how I approached day-to-day tasks, how I approached my priorities, how I lived, what my relationship with myself was, because my only currency in my mind was effort.
Wow. Right. That's so relatable, right? Effort. Like I, that speaks to me.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something, Katie. So we have a lot of designers listening, and probably many of them are like, whoa, I sort of feel the same way. I'm on the brink of it. And so my question is, it sounds like this isn't just, you know, look, everybody always says, oh my God, you're so busy, Luann, you do all these things, how do you get it all done, blah, blah, blah. But I am not on the brink of physical destruction here. Like, I am not. Like, I'm just actually not. I wake up, I'm tired, you know what I mean? And 5 or 6 o'clock, I got to, you know, switch gears and go from podcast world over to Window Works and do 2 or 3 hours at Window Works. And my brain goes, don't feel like doing it. I'm like, sorry, sweetie, no option. Get to work, right? And I call it going to my next job, right? But I'm not at the brink. So talk to us a little bit about, so that the person who might be at the brink can identify themselves like, wait a minute, we are not talking about just a little bit of tired here, right?
Okay. Well, I don't want to wait till we get on the brink. So right. I really don't want to get to that point. What I want to do, and that's part of why I wake up and do the work that I do, because if I can get to somebody before they get to the point that I was at, then my suffering has served the purpose.
Okay.
I don't want to have to get us to fall apart. I want us to be able to say, on a day-to-day basis, say, what do I need? What do I need? Not what do I need to do? Because I guarantee you, you can tell me. I only navigate the high achieving world. I'm not interested in any other world. I love high achievers. It's my language. It's my tribe. So I know you know what you need to do, but I also know it's highly likely that you don't know what you actually need. Do you need rest? And I don't mean you, I mean Vu, right? Do you need rest? Do you need a hug? Do you need a good cry? Do you need to say no to someone else so that you don't disappoint yourself by saying no to yourself? So many of the people that I encounter, it's like, oh, I'm not good at saying no. It's like, yeah, honey, you are. It's just to yourself. So we have to dismantle this tendency that we have to dismiss our needs as we tie our superhero capes around our neck and wonder why we're feeling choked, why there's no oxygen, why we're seething with resentment because we have taken on another thing, because every yes is a no. So when someone is asking you to serve another board, take on another job, volunteer in this way, we have to pause and say, if I say yes to this, what do I say no to? And I'm asking your audience and everyone that I encounter to stop saying no to yourself. Because the fact is, you do want to have an impact in the world. And if you do, then you're going to have to start treating yourself with the dignity that you show your work, that you show the other people in your life. What if we actually showed a portion of that respect for ourselves? And then we start changing the relationship we have with ourselves. We repair the trust that we have with ourselves.
So this seems like what comes to mind is that, you know, simple doesn't mean easy, right? Or easy doesn't mean simple, or whichever way this silly saying is supposed to go. Because, all right, so I hear you. Your mission, you look, if somebody's at the brink of exhaustion and disease, you know, you want to help them. But your mission isn't to locate them. I heard that loud and clear. Your mission is to probably locate the people like me that are like at, you know, 65 miles an hour and 75 or 80 is the limit. And maybe I can exist at 65 for 10 more years, but it might be 10 days or 10 minutes or 10 years. And that I don't know. And that's what you're saying, right?
Well, the people that are on the brink find me.
Right.
I'm the last straw, because my work is about looking inward. My work is about saying there's not a guru, there's not some expert, there's not some pill, there's not some diet, there's not some shake you can have that's going to actually get to the issue. We don't know ourselves. We're not even curious about ourselves as a general rule. We are fascinated by the postured lives of strangers on social media, but we have incredible difficulties and resistance when it comes to actually being in our own company, to sitting with ourselves and really becoming curious about who we are, what we need. And here's the thing. I mean, high achievers will always go until they can't. I mean, and that's like, it's just, that's the point. But when we do that, when we're operating at that pace, what we're doing is we're borrowing energy from the future. And what I want to say is let's get self-care habits in place so that we are actually fueling the day in the moment instead of borrowing future energy. And we get this credit card bill, so to speak, of all the future, the future purchases that we made just to be able to fuel today. Right. And that is a really high cost. And that's when we have to get forced into changing our lives. And I'd rather interrupt that. I'd rather have that little voice that says, I feel overwhelmed. It's too much. I can't do it anymore. Right? Those little whispers is your body and soul saying, let's do things differently. Let's renegotiate how we approach life and tasks and our work and our relationships and our commitments.
So Katie, how, because literally your ideal target client is the probably worst client for this. It's like you said, it's the person who thinks I can do it. And so, it's like, I don't have a problem. What's your problem? I don't have a problem. I'm fine. And I'll just take another credit card payment. It's fine. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So the thing is, one of the things that I wrote, that you said is dismantle the myth that we have to choose productivity over self-care. Yeah. So that is one of those simple versus easy. Okay, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
But how do you teach people in real life to actually do that? Because we are busy lunatics.
Yeah. So what we do is actually put it into practice. I mean, the philosophy of shifting that self-care is actually a way to get more done. Try it for 2 weeks, get some more sleep, eat some leafy greens, right? As sit in quiet, have a cup of tea from the moment you boil that tea till the last sip, be silent and be present in your own company. And then ask yourself, was I actually more present? Was I actually more focused? Was I able to get more done? Was I able to get the right? Did I have better sense of discernment about what it is I should be doing? Because when we slow our roll, we become conscious participants in our own lives. We become empowered agents in our own lives instead of reactive beings who are whack-a-moling our way through life. We actually create enough space where we can slow our roll and our work is better. The mistakes are fewer. Our confidence rises. Our vitality increases. So we know when we get a better night's sleep, we're better. We're functioning better. We are getting more things done or the right things done in the right way. So this is common sense, but we get lured by the delusion. If I just keep doing, I'm actually going to get caught up. Like, honey, you are not going to get caught up. There is no caught up for high achievers. You will never get to the point where you've gotten to the end of your to-do list. So we have to learn how to be. And what that means, the way that we do it is, like I said, we start with a cup of tea. This is a mindfulness practice. We don't have to be in a robe. We don't have to sit, in a retreat or on a mountaintop. Simply sitting with ourselves in quiet for 5 minutes. No books, no media. We don't need, an app or anything else. Just learn to sit. And it's funny, my client in the concierge coaching practice, that is the homework assignment that Absolutely. They will avoid like the plague. They will do anything else because they know they want to change their life. They, you know, they've spent money with me. They're investing time, money, energy. They want to do it. They want to go all in. But this one, they avoid. It's fascinating. Anything else I can ask them to do, which is 100 times harder by anybody else's standards. But this sitting just in silence is unbearable for often high achievers.
Is it something
we're addicted
that
to doing, right?
Yeah. And is it something that you are suggesting that, you know, like it's every day, once an hour, you know, like what is
well,
the hard,
every
hard
day,
part of it?
Every day sitting in silence for 5 minutes in your own company and watch, first of all, watch the monkey mind go crazy, right? Because what we tell ourselves.
I can't be walking while I'm doing it.
Walking meditations. You can, but you know, the brain that lights up and says, oh, well, I'm being active. At least I'm doing something.
Yeah.
What I'm asking you to do is to be the human being part that we dismiss because we think we have to. And we tell ourselves that if we're taking care of ourselves, we're inevitably neglecting something else.
Yeah.
And what the truth is really is if we don't take care of ourselves, we will inevitably neglect so many other things because we won't have a choice. We're going to doctor's visits. We are, you know, on the sofa curled up. We're, you know, we are compromised and whatever we create will be a fraction of our true potential. So I like to turn the guilt about taking care of ourselves on its head. We should feel guilty for operating beneath our potential. And the only way we can access our potential is if we are leveraging self-care as a tool to be our best selves.
Okay. So if, you know, it's funny because I don't know if I've ever mentioned to you, my daughter, Christy, she's got a podcast called Sass Says. And one of her things is that she has a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction when she had her first two, when she had her kids and she was in postpartum depression. None of us knew it. But she said, you know, this notion of self-care. She's like, please don't tell me, you know, when I'm a mom with a two-year-old and a two-month-old that, you know, go get a, you know, a massage, make yourself feel better. Please don't tell me, go get manicure. That's, you know, because those notions of self-care, I can't even manage now.
Right.
And so she's always saying, how do you care for yourself?
Yep.
That isn't like a girl's day at the spa. Like, and well, I don't think you're talking about that either.
Well,
you're talking about intrinsic things, right?
Well, I am, but also, here's the thing. It's not pampering, right? And when part of my intake form, and I know you have an extensive intake form, part of my intake form, the question is like, what are your self-care practices? And if there are some, and a lot of times it's none, right? But if there are some, it's the passive self-care, which is a massage, right? There, you have to be proactive to book it, but the rest of it is passive. Getting your nails done, you know, that's more of a almost a business investment for a lot of us. But, you know, there's a difference. But if we ask ourselves, like, what do I need? Well, you know what? The need might be, wow, I need to go to bed earlier. That doesn't cost money. It doesn't even cost time, but it forces us to say no to something else. It forces us to get off the computer. It forces us to say, what is it that I need to do in order to be my best tomorrow? We have to consult our future selves. And we don't do that. We're operate like, how much can I cram in today? Right. Mm-hmm. And that's our measurement of success. What we're doing is trying to soothe the part of us that says I'm not enough by doing too much. And it won't work. It doesn't work.
Right. So what happens when somebody comes to you and says, you know, maybe through working with you, let's like we jump ahead, right? So through working with you, we've done some self, you know, sat with ourselves, we've done some introspection, and we realize, you know, I don't know, like I'm going to pick something that I would never, ever want to find out that I need to do, which is maybe start cooking myself healthy meals. Like there's no way. I don't want to start cooking, Katie, ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then, no.
I'm like, literally,
then you don't.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But there's something that like, okay, so then let's just say this. So like, I feel like that would be a great thing in my life if I could have healthy meals ready for me. But I experimented with it 2 weeks ago, buying groceries and doing it. And after two nights, I'm like, I'm over this. This is crap. I'm not doing this.
But at the core,
because the time isn't there. No, like, so where I'm going with it is I am the 2 days that I did it well, I had to leave work earlier. I had to get up from the commuter. I had to, it's, you know, he's going to be home for dinner at 6:30. So if you're going to cook dinner, you said you would. Normally, I will record, edit, write, Instagram, do anything until 6:20, drive to the restaurant and meet him at 6:30.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in order to cook it, I had to stop everything at like 5:30, like, you know, and it just, the payoff is way too far down the road. Yep. Just like that credit card that I'm charging on, yep, the payoff is also way too far down
so
the road.
So I have heard this more times than you can imagine. But here's the thing. So at the cornerstone of self-care is self-awareness. I don't have this model that no matter who you are, this is what you're going to get. The right. areas that I really focus on are food, thought, and time. And okay. then the next piece is actually home, our home environments, because that is essential. Our homes will either elevate us, remind us of our best self, or it will distract us. So I think our homes are a beautiful opportunity to hold us accountable to the most evolved versions of ourselves. In your case, saying to me like, you know what, Katie, I'm not going to do that. I'm not willing to do it. I would poke and prod. If you were my client, I would be poking and prodding to be like, let's just think about this. The act of feeding yourself is something that you've said, I don't have time for. So I would hold up a mirror and be like, this is an opportunity to look at that. That being said, we would then take a moment and say, okay, let's say this is a real, this is your current reality. You are choosing other priorities. Amen. Right? Let's support that. But what the way that we support it often, the way that we handle it is we choose convenience and we neglect nutrition in this particular case. We just want to shove something in our pie hole so we can keep going. And we need to say, okay, I totally respect that this is just not your priority right now. But the priority needs to be to feed yourself in a way that allows you to fuel what it is you want to accomplish. And to think you're going to be able to do that on crumbs is delusional. So I'm going to honor how much you want to accomplish. I'm going to honor that about you. But I'm also going to say, well, let's make sure we fuel you so that you can accomplish that. Let's make sure we feed you and nourish you at the deepest level so that you can create the beautiful impact you want to have in the world. And then, so if it's eating out or we get a chef coming in or we get, meal delivery, those are all options. We have to meet people where they are. But what I want to do is keep digging away at, the first thing that we want to give up is we want to give up the responsibility of our needs. The need to feed ourselves is an annoyance. I mean, I used to not drink water because I didn't want to have to go to the bathroom. I was driving all over the place. This was before cell phones. I was in San Francisco. I'm driving all over the place to sell advertising. And I was like, I'm just not going to drink water because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. I mean, not like, boy, my body's really going to need to hydrate. Like, no, because I don't want to have to pull over and miss that 15-minute window that I could have made another sales call. So we have to look at ourselves and be like, what is the message I'm telling myself about the nuisance my body is?
Yes. Well, I think that's what it is, because it's either, to your point, you mentioned sleep. Okay, so I should get a good night's sleep, or I should go exercise, or I should, cook and prepare better foods. But each of these things requires us, this type A person, this go-getter driven personality, to take something else off their plate.
Yep.
And I hear what you're saying, Katie. I hear it. Like, it's logical that I am, and I'm saying the world, people who indulge in this, right? Like, that we are using the credit card against our future self. I get that. I actually, the concept is completely clear, but it's actually the same as using a credit card. It doesn't feel real. It feels like Monopoly money. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
What feels real
until
is
you get
16
sick.
Emails. Right. But what feels real is like, how could I possibly take an hour out of my day and wind down and get to bed early, or take an hour of my day and go to the gym? So how do you break through to all the students like us out here?
I always start with food, because the fact is, if we're in a food fog, I can't accomplish anything with you. Like, I was addicted to sugar because I was trying to fuel the inhumane expectations of myself. Addicted to busyness and addicted to sugar. I would just cram, candy into my mouth. Again, convenience, just shove it in because I got things to do. And, you know, busyness is bitter and sugar is pretty sweet. Yes. So this was how I kind of soothed that ache of how, you know, deprived I felt. And understanding ultimately, I could never do enough to be enough. That's when I broke. That's when it's like, wow, I am running a race that I will never cross the finish line.
Yeah.
So it's how crazy. Do you do it in a concrete way is one of the things I do is to ask context and considerations. So I created a planner so that weaves in self-care, because most planners are have no regard for our physical needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, no regard whatsoever. It's just get it done.
Well, I feel like they're one way or the other. They're either all about that. And I'm just like, okay, sweetie, I'm not doing 90 of these things today.
or it's all fluff, right? I know, little duckies and all that stuff. Yeah, it's just, right? So not happening. So I absolutely agree. I saw those two extremes and it was like, how do we do it? So one of the things I ask my clients to do is to learn the art of context and considerations. So an example might be right now, my mom had a heart attack. This is a fact. This is part of the con. She's okay, but this is the reality of my life right now. So what does that mean? You know, my son is home from college. Okay. Let's see. I think about, you know, Easter is coming up. My husband is, we just got a puppy. Like these contexts and considerations are our chance to recalibrate what our expectations are. Most of us wake up and we're like, this is what I got to get done, with total disinterest and disregard for our realities. So when we say, or throughout the pandemic, it's like, we're in a pandemic. So I don't care how capable you are and how tough you are. This is impacting us. The economic crisis, the political mess, all this, it's impacting us. I'm not saying give us an excuse. I'm not talking about like, let us off the hook, all of that. So I'm not talking about being wussy. What I'm talking about is having practical respect for our current realities. So when I look at that, when I fill out the context and considerations, like, okay, what does this mean? Wow, this means I'm going to have to really like feed myself skillfully. Where I might have like skimped, I'm going to need to get convenience at the forefront, but I'm also going to make sure that I'm going to get more leafy greens in, because I've got to take care of myself, or I'm going to be the patient, right? So that's part of it. And we start recalibrating what we expect of ourselves. What are the three things I'm going to do today? Knowing what's happening in our lives, what's happening in our inner world, what's happening in our external world. So I'm not saying don't get anything done. I'm saying start adjusting and being reflective of what actually is happening, and therefore what's reasonable to expect of ourselves. Once we start doing that, we actually start feeling human. Mm-hmm. We're treating ourselves humanely, as if we're human beings that are having a human experience. And we need to be able to step away from the lure of this robotic productivity and say, how might I do this with compassion and respect for myself?
Amen to all of it, by the way. I hear it. I applaud it. I think it makes good sense. What you're basically saying is, wherever you find yourself in a moment, and you might be running on, you know, all cylinders and everything is fine, then all of a sudden a parent has a heart attack, a kid comes from the college, you get a new puppy. It's like, you can't have the same expectations of yourself, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you're also looking ahead and saying, okay, I still need to eat well, but I'm not going to make it. So I have to get it delivered. And you know what? I actually know I function better if I have more greens, so I'm going to order more greens. So I love all of that. Now talk to the part of the driven personality that recognizes in a rational conversation that baby changes, baby steps are good steps that are better than ignoring the things. But that driven personality, it's like 3 days and no results. I went to sleep early 3 days in a row. This doesn't work. I'm going back to get my work done. Because we want results, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, that's where... Yes, that's where the coaching responsibility, that's where the coaching relationship works, because in my coaching, I'm seeing clients every 2 weeks and it's in a 6-month program. So what I'm saying is, look, we're going for an experiment. And for the next 2 weeks, Monday through Friday, this is what we're going to do. right? So we outline the homework and they know there's a beginning, there's an end. And I'm like, at the end of 2 weeks, we're going to decide what works, what doesn't work. You are the expert on you. We defer this all the time. We delegate the responsibility for ourselves so carelessly, but we are the experts on ourselves. And so we actually put it into practice. And my clients do it because they want the accountability. They know, you know, they're good girls and good boys. That's what got them into trouble in the first place. And they know they're going to do what I ask them to do. And then on the weekends, I'm like, I don't care what you do on the weekends. Well, you know what happens? They get that contrast. Uh-huh. They feel like crap on the weekends. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah. I actually felt good and I didn't realize it. And oh, I actually got more done and I didn't realize it. Oh, I don't feel this churning frenzy. I am actually feeding my life, my mind, my time, my body in a way that is realistic with the output that I have, right? Like, that's the thing. We don't have a healthy relationship in terms of expectations about this is what I expect of myself. And this is what I'm actually going to invest in myself. They do not align. And so the mindset becomes, look, I want to create this. And therefore, I'm going to do this so that I can create this. And we don't do that. It's like, I'm going to create this with total dismissal and ignorance of what it's going to take of our body and mind to actually do that and to do it better, to do it with a clarity and a groundedness that isn't possible in the frenetic doing.
Do you find, Katie, when you work with people that there are certain, like, you know, the big comeuppance, the certain, like, you know, like for instance, for me, within my business and what I do and working with interior designers, you know, often the big one is, oh, I have to pay attention to my finances. Like, I can't just do a job, get all the money and move on to the next job. It's like, no. We have to stop and we have to look at the job. And I'm always saying, you have to do the autopsy. You need to, I understand in the process you're doing, but you have to stop and look at it, because if you just go year after year after year of doing the projects, you actually don't learn which projects you're most profitable at. You don't learn where your mistakes are, where you're blowing money and people that work for you are making mistakes. Like, you can't, you cannot, like, the thing about it is with a business, and you know this to be true, is, you know, if you're going to do the X amount of work to put a design project in the world, let's make the most profit on it, because that's the whole reason you did it. But if you never analyze it, you actually, and that is usually new information for a lot of people. They're like, oh, like, money is always in the checkbook. So I actually don't pay attention to the individual job. So that's like a thing that I would say is a typical aha moment. Are there typical aha moments that you have in your coaching with, you know, people who are, you know, trying to be the better version?
Oh, there are so many. Yeah, there are so many. But I think you already touched on one, which is the little stuff. The little stuff that we blow off because we think it doesn't have enough impact is the very thing that transforms our lives. It is the it is the mundane, boring stuff that is the genesis of us, you know, of all good that comes from us. Like, it's the muscle we need to build is consistency. And for people like you and me, like, we want the big, you know, we want the drama, we want the big results, we want this dramatic, but it's the little stuff because we don't know how to be consistent. I mean, most people go do on diets and they bail at 6 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Like, they're not getting immediate feedback enough, you know, but it's that little, like, for clients that are resistant to moving their body, I was like, okay, here's the thing. Put on your sneakers. That's it. If you don't go anywhere, I don't care. We have to get over the first obstacle. Once they have the sneakers on, they're like, I might as well go, because they've overcome the first level of resistance. And just do that. Put on your sneakers every day for the next 2 weeks, or Monday through Friday, the next 2 weeks. Mm. That's it. I don't care if you go for a walk. The other thing that is so important is, once we start doing these things, so I'll give clients, like, this is your homework. You know, we agree. This is your homework. I'm going to hold them accountable to it. I have all sorts of tools to hold them accountable. This is what you're going to do for the next 2 weeks. And they're like, really? You've got to give me more. Well, what happens is when I was like, nail that. And you know what happens? There's so much more that they accomplish, because all of a sudden they get it. They start feeling better. They get feeling, vitality in a way that they didn't before, because they're putting those other practices, they're feeling confidence that they're actually going to keep their word to themselves in the way they keep the word to everybody else. So it's a self-perpetuating cycle that is in service to them. And you know, we think that if I exercise, I'm depriving myself. If, you know, we feel deprived when we're, you know, eating healthfully. But what I want to say is you are actually deprived when you are not leveraging one of the most effective resources you have in your toolkit. The best way to gain a competitive edge is to take care of yourself consistently, is to sleep, to move your body, to eat mindfully, allow silence. You know, consider the context and considerations, being intentional. This is your competitors, including, you know, yesterday's version of you, is not doing this. But this is how you will catapult yourself forward to actually be able to accomplish what you set out to do, because you are providing the, you know, the compost for the life you actually want to build, instead of like raping the soil of all the nutrients.
You know, I feel like, okay, let's go to the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum and run up the steps with Rocky. Like, let's go. I want to do it.
Or actually go, you know, have a call with a client with your AirPods in and go for a walk.
This episode is sponsored by MyDoma Studio. MyDoma Studio is your complete designer toolkit. MyDoma makes it easy to streamline your processes, track projects, communicate with clients, and get everything organized. It's created by designers for designers, and it specifically addresses what you need as a business owner in this very complex industry. I've said countless times that systems and processes are how you reach the next level of profitability and peace of mind. MyDoma Studio makes it easy to do that. You can get 20% off your first 3 months by going to mydomastudio.com/a-well-designed-business.
Have a team meeting with a colleague and go for a walk while you're doing it. I mean, this doesn't have to, you know, most people it's like, oh, well, I don't work out because working out is an hour at the gym. I don't have an hour, therefore I do nothing. It's like, let's challenge that first thought and be like, how about you just move your body? Yeah. Move your body for 15 minutes, go around the block. And if you need to be productive, listen to a book on tape, the book you've been meaning to listen to, go ahead, have a meeting, do whatever you have to do. As long as you're moving your body. And what happens is my clients can't wait to get and do that ritual that now actually really fuels them and inspires them and gives them the energy and the stamina they need to do what they want to accomplish in the first place. So they start, the aha is when I take care of myself, I actually get more done and I do better quality work. And that is something that we maybe know intellectually, but until we put it into practice, we doubt it, because we look to the models of other people and it's like, oh, they just burn themselves out. That's how to be successful.
No, I agree. You're right about that. And so when somebody works with you, Katie, they're working with you, is it one-on-one? Is it group? Is it optional? Like you could set, how do you do it? All one-on-one.
Yeah, it's one-on-one. It's six. It's 6 months, 12 sessions in a 6 month period. And I've evaluated lots of different paces, but it really takes us 6 months to change. I don't want superficial change. Like I want you to not recognize who you were before. And that's why I do such an extensive intake form, because they don't believe me. They don't believe me when I say this is where you were. And what happens is we use that guilt, the guilt we have for, you know, taking care of it. Like, oh, I'm going for a walk. We get apologetic and we're embarrassed. Like it seems like we're weak or wussy or all this stuff. And in fact, what happens is we need to say, actually, it is selfish. To self-neglect, because the version of ourselves we're contributing to the world is a fraction of our best self. And that is selfish. Like that.
Now, for, you know, my dear friends, the interior designers, let's do a little bit of conversation about your philosophy on home and how it supports you. I mean, they know it. I know they know it, but I think it might be helpful for them to hear it in somebody's words that's not a designer. And then also you have that little fun tidbit about where you live. So let's like go through that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, as a little girl, when life felt chaotic, I would organize a drawer and then I would gain some sense of mastery. And I underestimated the impact that it had until I started this work. Food, thought, and time are my three kind of pillars. But when I the close fourth is home, because the home environment can support you or it can undermine you. It can elevate you or it can drag you down into habits that are dysfunctional. So a good example is I was working with a client whose kitchen table was just covered with papers. And what she was, you know, and so she never sat down to have a meal. She would stand up or she would sit at, you know, and have it on her lap. And I was like, look, your one of your homework assignments for the next 2 weeks is I want you to clear off this table. That's it. Just clear it off and get a placemat. And that simple act changed everything for her, because what she's saying is, I have a place in my own life. Most of us don't. Most of us do not occupy real estate for our needs in our own lives. And she also was communicating the act of eating is an important ritual that shows self-respect. And I'm going to bring, so she started, it's kind of like you paint one room and then you're painting the entire, you know, everything else, because all of a sudden it's not good enough. Right. And that's what I want. I want you to look at your current habits and be like, those are beneath me. That we have such excruciatingly high standards for ourselves. But when it comes to self-care, we accept mediocrity. We tolerate mediocrity. We would never break our word to anybody else, but we promise ourselves, oh, I'm going to exercise tomorrow. Oh yeah, I'm going to eat a salad. And you know, then we're scarfing down nachos. Like, we lie to ourselves all the time and we wonder why we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves. So this simple act for her to clear the space, all of a sudden, everything, it was the watershed moment. I could get through to her in ways I couldn't before, because she understood that she was showing that she had dignity.
That's amazing.
It was a beautiful transformation, well, but it started with that.
I mean, so, I, through WindowWorks, I did Shop at Home for 35, 37 years. And it's, you know, you do see the way people live. And it is remarkable sometimes. And you think to yourself, like, how do you do this? Like, and it's not like the quality of the furniture or anything, but like something like that. I've 100% been in homes with the kitchen table like that, where there's no meals that are happening here. There's no gathering around the table. There's no husband, wife, children, everybody, because this can't happen here. Right. And it's also the thing where I know, like in feng shui, they're like, your bedroom should not have your desk and your office and all the things in it, right? Because it's like just subliminally, I can't say that word.
Subliminally.
Like, you're just sending a message to yourself that this is not the place that we retreat and revive and re-energize in, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, think about it. You know, I'll have my clients, one of the things I'll always have them do is look at their nightstand. Like, what is on your nightstand? And 99% of the time, there are books that people intend to read that they never do. And so what I'm saying to them, so every night you look and it, the message screams, you're a failure.
That's
crazy. Just like, failure, failure, no thank you, right? What are we going to do to create serenity? So we don't need, you know, we can weaponize self-care. And we have to resist our tendency to do that and instead be like, who am I? What do I need? And how can I show the deepest respect for myself? So when people say like, oh, I'm just so busy. It's like, well, where is a spot for you to sit in quiet? Like when I ask them to just sit in quiet, there's like, there's no place for me. Well, you know what? We're going to create a space. It doesn't have to be a yoga studio. It doesn't have to be all woo-woo-wee, although I can totally go there. But like, what if it's just a chair? That's where you go to gather your thoughts, where you go to not expect anything of yourself other than just breathing. And that, you know, for most people, we have the best of intentions, but their homes don't reflect those intentions. If you want to learn how to slow your life down and like, oh, I love tea. It makes me feel good. Great. Where is the tea? Like, let's put it on the counter in a beautiful way. Let's get a beautiful tea set. Like, I really think we need to be intentional about every item we touch. Is it beautiful? Is it functional? You know, these are the things that that can really change our sense of self, our self-esteem, our confidence. And I think when we learn how to create a home that reflects us, it first starts with an understanding of who we are, not some catalog, not some architectural digest spread. Who am I and what do I need? My family, removes its shoes, our shoes before we enter the house. And one of the reasons that I love that is, well, I have a Buddhist tradition. I've, you know, been practicing Buddhism for a while. So that's part of what introduced it to me. But the other piece was the hardest times we have is when we transition. Think about the times when you're, you know, when you're kind of slumming it on the habits, when you're having that, you know, the glass of wine, you know, the bra's off and the wine is being poured. We don't know how to transition from work to home, even right. if we're working from home. We don't know how to transition from the car into the workplace. And that's when we're grabbing the croissant and we get sloppy because we don't have intentional wow. transitions. So our home is that place when we remove our shoes, we say, I am now home. I am safe. This is a place where I restore myself, where I replenish myself, where I am loved and cared for. And we left the debris, literally, yeah. of the
you know,
day
Katie,
behind.
You're onto something about that intentional transitions. Yeah. You really are. Because I, you know, what's funny is because, you know, look, I have gone through periods where I've had to drink a glass of wine every night and to, you know, okay, now I'm not having it every night. Like I'm not an alcoholic. I did the exploration. I'm definitely not. In case anybody was yeah. worried. Right. But yeah. the thing is, what I recognize is I don't really, I'm not getting enough to get buzzed. I'm not, you know, what it was is I actually recognized
yeah.
and you used the word transition, but I used the word exclamation point. And it's the same thing. It's like, okay, the day is done. Mm. And the thing is, it's like how I actually right. uncovered that it was that exclamation point or transition is because I could work home mm-hmm. all day. Mm-hmm. Vin could maybe bring dinner in, or maybe I've had something there or whatever left over or whatever. I'm not going to sit and have the glass of wine with my dinner. Like I finally figured this out. This was like you said, like look in your eyeballs and what are you actually doing? Because I realized if I went out to dinner, okay, I'm going to have a glass of wine, right? But if I was at home, it wasn't like, oh, I'm done working and it's 7 o'clock and I'm going to have some food, or it's 6 o'clock when I'm going and let me have the wine. It was like, I didn't have the desire for the wine then. When I had the desire for the wine was whether I stopped working at 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, it didn't matter, or 10 o'clock, I took a shower and I came downstairs and then I was like, mm-hmm. now it's time for wine because I'm done. And it's like this transition. And I've said to Vinny right. 1,000 times, I just need a different exclamation point. And he's like, well, what is it going to be? I'm like, I don't yep. know. And right. so now I've just been powering through.
Yeah, but think about it, though, Luann. I think that's so fascinating. And you're not alone. So all of my clients, I will walk them through an experiment right. where for 2 weeks they go without alcohol. And the reason that we're doing that is I just, you know, when we remove yes. something, we can understand its impact. And it is fascinating, fascinating what people learn about themselves when they go through that experiment and then decide to what degree they let the alcohol back in. Right. But in, think about it, you've gone through your day. It's yeah. almost like you have
That's
permission
it,
now. You've earned the right to have a glass of wine, which by definition numbs you. That is the point of alcohol. So here you are. Now it's your life. You're not being asked to produce anything. It is your time. And you shut down your senses. You numb your senses.
Because then it also, even if a thought comes like 10 minutes later, oh, I should just go record that outro, or I forgot to that, with a half a glass of wine down, I'm like, whatever. like I can, yeah. it's like literally the numb is like, yeah. whatever. It's certainly not sloppy. Right.
It's the permission to stop doing. Yes. So I want you to say like abracadabra, Kalamazoo, bibbidi bobbidi bibbidi boo, poof. You have permission yeah. to say, I have done enough.
Yeah.
I've done enough. I am enough. And we don't need, and I'm using right, air quotes, right. we don't need a right. drug.
Yeah.
Right. To do that. And I'm like, and if you're going to have a glass of wine, I want it to be the highest quality wine you have. When we increase the quality and the experience, what it is a ritual is what you're looking for. You're looking for a ritual.
I don't, you know what it is? It has to satisfy the combination of the reward, the signaling of the end of uh-huh. the day, and also I guess the triggering of yeah whatever yeah. and by the way, I'm now like in a period coincidentally of yeah. us talking that I'm not drinking wine every single night, you know what I mean? But it's not yep. like I'm not thinking about yep. it. I'm like, be nice to have wine now. I'm like, but you're not going to, because you made a promise to yourself yep. you're just going to try this on for size.
Yeah, but you know what's so fascinating is, so I don't drink. I don't like how it makes me feel. And so for me, when I consult my future self, I have a glass of wine and I know my future self is not going to be as productive, not as clear-headed the next day, not going to feel like working out, more susceptible to eating sugar because alcohol is sugar. I don't like that version of me. So I don't even have to consult my future self anymore. I know the answer. I've done the research. Anytime I experiment, it's like, really? I think we've experimented enough. We now know. And now if I choose to have alcohol, like at any point, I am signing up for how I'm going to feel the next day. And now the context and considerations are like, oh, you had alcohol last night. You had a glass. So you're going to have to expect less. I wouldn't want to be on a call with you if I had had alcohol the night before, because I know that I'm not going to be as sharp. So this is the kind of thing. So that's how we feel empowered instead of deprived, because I'm choosing a state of being that I prefer over the other one. But I wanted to encourage you too. One of the things that I missed desperately was the ritual of the alcohol. I love my parents had cocktail hour every day. I mean, I grew up with this, and you know, I have a nephew who's a winemaker, a niece who is in PR for wine. Like, there's a lot of alcohol in my family, my extended family, and it's a big part of kind of our culture. So what I did is there are tons of alcohol-free wines now. There are a number of websites. So I get shipments of alcohol-free wine. And I have a glass in a beautiful glass that I got from ABC, you know, just ABC Home, just this beautiful pink glass blown, hand blown glass. And I have a glass of alcohol free wine. And that's how my way ritual of honoring the ritual that was so important, right? That's the, it really is our attempt. This is what I think. We live neck up, right? We are in our heads all the time. And the way that we can ground ourselves is through, take the elevator down is through our senses, right? And this, you guys, I mean, you guys are visual, tactile. I mean, this is your world, right? In the design world, it's about senses, the sense of smell. These are, this is what makes us human. So when we want to inhabit our lives more, we need to activate our senses. All of them. And I think, and so when we're having that glass of wine, we're actually dulling our senses. And what we're doing is we're still hanging out in our head. We're hanging out in our head, and now our head is fuzzier. So I'd rather activate, I'd rather have essential oils going. I'd rather have this beautiful meal that I can taste where my, you know, taste buds are alive and awakened. And so there are so many other ways, but wrap ourselves in, you know, in a cashmere wrap. There's so many ways that we can activate these senses without
I love it. Numbing them. Everything you said makes tons of sense. It really does. You know, and I think each one of us, you know, hears in here the little bits and pieces that resonate more than others, right? Because it's not, you know, what you said, context and consideration. Yeah. To go look for my notes, context and consideration, because that's also going to impact what of this hits us between the eyes and what of this we're like, I'm good there. Or I'm not good there. Right.
Well, it's our job to know who we are. You know, and you said, what are those other turning points? You talked about how we study our businesses, but we're not studying ourselves. We are our business. And especially when you're in the creative field, you are paid to have your senses alive and your mind sharp, and you open to this, you know, creative influence and inspiration coming from so many ways. That requires exceptional self-care. That requires feeding yourself mindfully, saying no relentlessly and unapologetically to things that distract you from the true work, which is honing that skill of creativity and discernment.
I can see why it's important to literally do this twice a month for 6 months, because you can come away from this conversation, like I said, you can come away from the conversation with some inspiration, some motivation, some tactical tips on, you know, just going to bed earlier. You know, our other friend from HPS, Adrian Cotton, she's, you know, her field is she's an expert in menopause, right? And she's going to be on the show too, because we're going to take apart how she's built this business and the back end of how she built this business, because she's highly organized and highly systemized. But she's literally saying to me, go to sleep, go to sleep. And I actually do get a good 8 hours almost every single night. It's very rare that I don't get 8 hours. But so that's not actually the Achilles heel for me, which I know it might be for somebody else. But there's something here for all of us that we've all got a thing. But I can see how you'd be empowered from this conversation to take an action. But this isn't the type of lifestyle changes that you do pretty much by yourself without somebody keep coming and reminding you and also probably giving you the space. Like you said, I love the idea of do it Monday through Friday and let Saturday and Sunday teach you the lessons. Like, I know it's going to teach you. Like, I can hear you in your head. You're probably like, I know it will take you too many weekends.
I love it. Oh my God. When a client just goes off the rails, I'm like, yes. You know, I love it because we've got to learn how we're all going to veer. That's life. We have to learn how to come gently back with compassion and curiosity.
And it's funny, just like on, and, to yeah, finish absolutely. The whole thing. It's so funny because Window Works is, we always end up having our holiday dinner like in February or March. Well, this year we're having it in April and we're having it the Saturday that we are talking. So in a couple of days and I have not been drinking. Right. And so I have not. And so I said to myself, well, are you going to drink there? And I'm like, well, you probably are, but I've already said Sunday, you're going to feel like crap. Like, I know it. Like, I'm like, I already know it. And so now, so what's happening is, to your point though, I'm already visualizing that instead of going there and being there from 7 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the morning and probably over the course of a night having an entire bottle of wine, I'm already going, you're not going to do that because you know you're going to feel like crap. Because once you do step away, you do feel the difference, you know?
You do. Yeah, and, no, you know, how productive are you then? Like, right? It's like, yeah, I'm not going to exercise. But then, like, you know, we're lifting some, I know, wallpaper books and we like pull our back. It's like, how productive are you now? You know, like, we just, you know, society makes us choose. Like, we give or we take. And really, what we have to do is learn how to give to ourselves so that we can continue to give to others. And that's the piece that we just don't, we are not, well, we're conditioned to, you know, to be martyrs and saints and it's not working. The good girl and good boy stuff, we have to be good to ourselves. And that's something that we really have to commit ourselves to in service to the work we want to do and the life we want to lead and the way we want to love and give.
100% true. Well, you are a rock star, my love. You really are. I love your passion for it. It comes shining through. And I know that you have helped lots of people and I'm sure that there's lots of people in my audience that were like, okay, I think I need a little Katie in my life.
Well, what I, in terms of homework assignment for you all, what I ask you to do is either have a cup of tea and sit in silence for 5 minutes. You don't have to have the cup of tea, but I like the ritual because it awakens all the senses, right? The sound of the tea kettle, the smell of the tea, the warmth of the cup, pick a beautiful cup. Like, I love that piece of it. And my husband says Japanese tea ceremony. So I really do have reverence and respect for that ritual. But the other thing is I want you to practice saying no. And I want you to practice it just every day, say no, and don't explain it. Just no. And then watch how uncomfortable it is. Watch how persistent everybody else is because they know if you could, you know, they're going to outwin you. They're going to outlast you typically. So what we want you to do is last 1 second longer than your impulse to change your mind or to explain yourself. And it, you will uncover how Pavlovian it is for you to say yes. And so practice saying no, no.
I could just see me trying that
sit
with
it,
man.
And sit with the discomfort.
No explanation.
You don't have to get snarky. You can just say no. Or you could say, I'm not available or that doesn't work for me. And then leave if you have to. Yeah, no. And, you know, people are, they're not going to like it because we have overfunctioned for everyone else and we've underperformed for ourselves. And how is that of service to the people that we serve?
All right. Okay. Not at all. So we have our homework. Sit in silence for 5 minutes, brew a cup of tea, smell it, taste it, feel it, and say no without explanation. But you can say it nicely, Katie says.
Yes.
That's
absolutely
awesome. And then you have, you talked about your planner and you are offering a discount code to everybody. I just want to make sure I don't forget that. Tell us about that,
I am. So you, there is a link that you'll be providing that is for the Be Nourished Planner. It also comes with a digital course, so that talking you through an hour-long digital course, talking you through how you might maximize the planner itself. And then there's a 15% discount.
Wow, well,
using
that's pretty cool.
Lord
I didn't realize you had some, like, you know, when you said you do the one-on-one for 6 months, I didn't realize that there was the digital, you know, opportunity to get our feet wet and make sure we want to be healthy and
yes.
happy.
Yeah. Well, the planner is designed to have my clients hear me, like, oh, no, no, to be that voice, the voice of their future selves that they're crafting. I want to get in there and noogle around in their brains. And
that's
so
awesome.
I want
you
to feel that too.
We'll definitely put that in the show notes. And I am just so glad that HPS brought us together, because you are a heck of a powerhouse lady. And I just love your mission in life, because I know so many of us entrepreneurs need this lesson that self-care is not fluff. Right? That it is absolutely essential. And it is like, you know, instead of, like you said, you know, taking a credit card and charging against our future self, it's like putting a deposit in the bank for our future self, right?
That's right. Self-care isn't selfish. It's our duty.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. Thank you, Katie, for being here today.
Thank you.
That you are not at the point where your body is falling apart and your mind is collapsing, where Katie got to. But is this hitting close to home at all, right? Because Katie wants to help you prevent this from getting to the point that it did for her. She implores her clients not to wait until they are at the brink of collapse, of needing help, to get help or to make those changes. We tell ourselves if we take care of ourselves, then we are neglecting something else. The truth is, Katie says, if we don't take care of ourselves, then we will end up neglecting all the things. The beauty of this is that you can take care of both yourself and your business at the same time. Katie swears by this. She's constantly saying this to me, and she has me convinced. I'm a work in progress. I will tell you right now, but I am fully coming to understand that as a business owner, as the center of the economy that you produce for your employees, for your extended contractors and trades, for your consumers, that it is your duty to take care of yourself. And sometimes that's how I have to look at it, right? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Sometimes I have to understand that it's actually, I'm putting the people that I'm working so hard for in jeopardy if I don't do it. Okay. And what I love is it's not about spending the money to get a massage, right? Like, this is what my daughter always, Christy, always says on her podcast, that self-care, you know, self-care can't just be a massage or getting your nails done, because sometimes you just don't have the energy for even to do that. So what are the things? Katie calls it those things, passive self-care. Okay. And it doesn't mean that they're not good. Doesn't mean don't go get the massage by all means. It has benefits to your lymphatic system. It has benefits to your mind where you just relax. We're not saying don't do it, but it can't stop there, right? Because the key is self-awareness. And the key is asking yourself, what do I actually need to be my best? To be my best today, or your review in the evening the night before, my best tomorrow. Because sometimes that could be just going to bed earlier, putting the phone down, putting the computer down, or maybe it's eating better today, right? Or maybe sometimes it's actually getting the floor done that you have calendar blocked to do on a particular day and time, instead of pushing it to the curb all day and then doing it at 11 o'clock at night, right? It's what is going to serve you today. Because when you serve yourself, you serve those around you, okay? Katie focuses on three pillars and a sub fourth pillar, right? Home, she talked about, which I love, because that brings her work and her connection right here to us, doesn't it? To this community. And she's right. Our home environment is so vital. It can support us or elevate us or can drag us down. You know this as designers. You know it in your own space. You know what it does for your consumers. So you have really all the reasons to work this into your life
from a business standpoint for making your business better, but from a business standpoint of teaching your consumers that will make their lives and their businesses better when their home environment, their work environment supports them too, okay? You heard Katie, the best way to gain a competitive edge is to take care of yourself consistently, right? For me, I'm going to tell you the line that hits me, to gain a competitive edge. Yes, I am hard, old dog, hard to break the habits and the mindset, okay? But whatever motivates you to do it, tap into it. Tap into it. You might not be as crazy pants as I am, and maybe you just need to understand. Maybe it's good enough for you to just say, wow, it's a better way to live. I love it. I love if you get from A to Z just like that. And if you need to do all these other crazy things like I have to do, then do them. Just whatever it is. Okay. So let's review Katie's homework assignment for us. Sit in silence for 5 minutes. You know, again, there's going to be many of you that are like, yeah, easy. And many that are going to be like, wait, 5 whole minutes, right? Sit in silence for 5 whole minutes. I have to tell you, you know where I'm able to do this ever since I spoke with Katie about this? I do it at the beach at LBI. And I don't mean on the beach, the bathing suit and all the thing. I just walk to the beach and I do it all winter long. And previously to talking with Katie, I walk to the beach. I go on a walk every single day when I'm LBI, you know, 20 degrees, 80 degrees, it doesn't matter. And at some point, I would walk up to the beach. And sometimes I will walk along the beach, the boots, the snow boots, all the things, whatever it is. Other times, it's just so darn windy there that I just walk up and I look at it and I just put eyeballs on the sun hitting the beach and the waves and all of those things. But in the past, I have said, oh, it's so beautiful here. I should sit on the bench right here. And I sit there and it's like 30 seconds. I'm like, okay, this is silly. What are you doing? Get up and finish your walk. And since talking with Katie, I have sat there for 5 minutes and it was hard in the beginning. I'm not going to tell you it wasn't. Literally had to look at my watch and go, okay, 5 minutes. And then what happens is, like most things, if you can get past the squirmy part. And for me, the squirmy part is, wow, you're sitting here. You could be walking. If you finish your walk, then you get back and you can check your email and you can do this. Well, who are we kidding? I'm not checking my email, but you can do things. You can write a show. You can do this. You can do that. And what happens is when I push through, pretty much by the time I get to 5 minutes, then my mind starts to go places. Now that work that I quote unquote wanted to get back to, now creative work enters my brain. And now I'm starting to like see connections or see ideas or see pathways to things in the business that were not present to me before because I've stilled my body and my mind to allow them to come in. So It's basically reinforcing what Katie is saying. If you take care of yourself, it actually takes care of your business. Now, I've also had the experience where my mind has sat and wandered to my family, the faces of my grandchildren, you know, to the Vincennes and how much he loves the beach and how much he loves to be at LBI. And then you just start to, you know, then in come the childhood memories of my parents and going to LBI, and then the memories of bringing our own kids there. And now all of a sudden, it's a different set of connections and, you know, little things that the brain starts to do. And they all start to center around gratitude and, you know, what a cool life and how much I have in my life to be happy and grateful for. And so what I'm saying is, I haven't found a downside to sitting still for 5 minutes. I'm just going to say there's been no downside. And it doesn't often go further into 10 or 15 minutes. You know, maybe that's phase two for Luann. But the 5 to 6 to 7 minutes has been transformative. It really has. So take it to heart.
take it to heart. Sit in silence for 5 minutes. Katie says, make a cup of tea if you want, just to wake up the senses, the smells, the sounds. I have to tell you, the beach does that for me, right? So I think what she's just saying is engage other senses. So as I'm sitting there at the top of the beach on the bench, you know, I'm getting the smell of the ocean. I'm getting the sunshine. I'm getting the visual of the sun dancing on the water. I'm hearing the waves crash. The wind is, almost always blowing at some level by me. And I'm feeling it on my face. And so I think that's what it is. It's have the silence, but get some engagement of the other senses. Okay. Try it. Try it. Let me know in the Facebook group, Luann Ligara and Friends, if you've tried it, if it's done something for you. Let Katie know, okay, if it's done something for you. Talk to her on the Instagram post or email her directly. And then, of course, her other homework assignment is that she wants us to do and say no without explanation, okay? I don't have trouble with this one. I will tell you that. I don't have trouble with this one. But I think that just comes with, age, and you're just like, they always say, you get to a certain point, you're like, I'm not your mama. I don't have to explain it to you. You're not my kid. I don't explain it to you, right? But I do know at the different seasons of your life, this is challenging. I also know that as creative entrepreneurs, you are driven to design because you love it, because you're passionate about it, because you love the results, and it often doesn't feel like work because you enjoy it so much, and therefore you hesitate to say no when it crosses a boundary because there is that part of you that wants so much for the other person to have the result that you can bring them. But Katie's 100% right. No is a word that should be in your vocabulary. And no is fine all by itself. It doesn't have to be followed by, and here's why, and I hope you understand, and just if you could see it from my point of view. You can certainly always just look at somebody and smile and say, no, thank you. Not today. Okay. So to start your journey of self-care with Katie, you can go to her coaching site at nourished.com. You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute self-care strategy session with her. Okay. You can also get her Be Nourished planner. Go to shop.benourished.com. It comes with a digital course on how to maximize the planner. And Katie was so generous to give us a 15% discount on this when you use the word Luann. Okay. And of course, you want to meet Katie in person. She is just such a love. Energy, just like, you know what's funny is she is the absolute combination of that driven, a high energy, succeeding personality that you want to be around and you want to emulate, but has this other part all locked up that has that whole be kind to yourself, be kind to others, nourish yourself, nourish others. It's such a powerful combination. If you know my cousin Eileen Hahn, if you've met her at any of our Power Talk Fridays or Luann Lives or High Point, it's that same personality that sunshine just comes through them. It's it's intoxicating being around them. It's you want to be better when you're around them. That's what it is. You want to be better. So come to Luann Live in Orlando 2023 and meet Katie in person. Okay. To learn about it, go to luannlive.com and to register. Okay. Right now, as I record this, there are tickets left. All right. Thank you, my friend Katie, for joining us and for reminding us how important self-care is to our health and to our success. Okay. And to our happiness. We all need this. Thank you so much. Now, you guys, go do your homework and decide to be excellent.
Thank you so much for joining me again today. This podcast is a production of Window Works, your resource for custom window treatments and awnings. To learn how we can help you on your next interior design project, go to www.windowworks-nj.com. And if you're interested in working with me on your business, either through masterminds or one-on-one coaching, or you want to know how to get my book, The Making of a Well-Designed Business, or you just want to know what's going on in the podcast land, and where I'm going to be. All of that is found at luannnigara.com. Thank you so much. Have an excellent day.